Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and the evening gets relief from all miseries of life, purport by His divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and appearance of the Lord will go back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. So simply knowing factually the mysterious way of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, the birth and activities of the Lord, as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general, are not ordinary. They are mysterious. And only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter, by spiritual devotion, is the mystery discovered. Thus one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti, or liberation, indicates that the Lord's birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious. And those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of His birth and activities. Carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening, gets relief from all miseries of life. We are reading this afternoon from the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter explains how the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in so many wonderful ways in various times to fulfill His purpose of attracting the devotees' minds back to Him. Originally, and when we say originally, we mean the essential nature of every living being is to be Krishna's devotee. But we have forgotten that original consciousness that is within us. And it is this forgetfulness which is the cause of all suffering and bondage within this creation. Everyone in this forgetful state becomes so infected by illusion that as they go on living, they become more and more attached to this material body and to the things that are related to this material body. In fact, to a materialistic person, the death of a loved one, or the death of one's own material body, is considered the ultimately most terrible thing in one's life. Is there anything we fear more than death, either to ourselves or those we love? And therefore, this entire human society is dedicated to the principle of trying to somehow or other forget death, postpone death. Because only if we have confidence of life can there be this type of security where we can enjoy. For instance, if you know that you're going to die tomorrow, a materialistic people, they will not be able to enjoy their dinner tonight. They won't be thinking, oh, how nice, how delicious, how nicely everything is prepared. They'll be preoccupied to think that, so what? What difference does it matter what it tastes like? Tomorrow I have to die. Nor will it really give you any pleasure to see how beautiful your wife is, or how faithful and successful your children are. In fact, the more you see these things, the more it will cause you more pain and suffering, because you know that you have to leave all these things behind. So therefore, because material society, everyone so much wants to enjoy through this body and mind, we try to forget the reality of death, of ourselves and our loved ones, and we try to postpone it as far as possible. How much we are attached to this bodily concept of life. But here we see the vision of a liberated soul, a vimukta. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he is explaining that in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead. And listen very carefully how he explains such a person sees death. A person who understands the nature of the Lord's activities and birth, is he afraid of death? How does he see death? Prabhupada explains, he goes back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. Material tabernacle means this body. How are we attached to this body? A devotee sees that, when will that day be when I am relieved of this material body? Everyone in the world wants to be relieved of the thought that they ever have to leave this body. But a devotee is thinking, when will I be relieved of this material body? For him, death is actually a relief, because it's not death at all. For him, death is eternal life. No more suffering due to the threefold miseries of material existence, but entrance into the spiritual world. This material body has a purpose. The purpose is, as long as by Krishna's arrangement we have it, we should use it in his service. We should use every limb, we should use every thought, whatever energy is there, should use it to assist in his mission. And what is his mission? His mission is fulfilled through all of his various incarnations. Here we are reading about his various incarnations. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskratam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Janam akharamacha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata jaktva deham punara janma nayati mam eti sorujuna. The Lord descends into this world not to try to enjoy like we. We take birth again and again and again because we are still attached to enjoyment. Not real enjoyment, but false enjoyment. Real enjoyment means the loving service of Krishna. False enjoyment means sense gratification. Nunam brahmata kuru deva karma yad indriya pritya apranoti. We are so much mad after sense gratification that we are cheating ourselves of the real pleasure of life. We are attached to the miseries of death, which are born of sense gratification. And thus we give up the real pleasures of life, which is the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And therefore, again and again and again, bhutva bhutva paliyate, we take birth. We don't know where we will take birth next. But in every birth, we're trying to somehow or other enjoy material existence through this material body. And in every birth, we suffer old age, disease, and death. But when Krishna comes to this world, he comes for a different purpose. Sarava yoni shakontaya murtaya sampavambhaya tasam brahma maha jonir aham bija prathapita. Krishna is the father of all living beings. He's the creator from whom everything emanates. When Krishna comes to this world, we should know he is coming like a father to reclaim his lost children who are suffering, to bring them back to their real sanity, to their real life of spiritual consciousness. And like a loving father that never forgets a single child, however disobedient that child may be, Krishna comes to this world in so many wonderful, wonderful ways to reveal his mercy and his pastimes. And anyone who understands any one of these most illustrious incarnations of the Lord will never have to take birth in this material world again, but attains Krishna. The sages of Naimasharanya are here discussing with Srila Shruti Goswami the various incarnations of the Lord. How the Lord appears in so many apparent species of life, as a horse, Hayagriva, or as a tortoise, or as a boar, or as a lion. So many wonderful ways. As a Kshatriya, how he appears as Lord Buddha, an ascetic. But in each of these wonderful incarnations, his real purpose is to bring people closer to understanding the real goal of life. Ete chang shakala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. But it is explained here in Bhagavatam that Krishna, he is different than all other incarnations, because he alone and no other form of God is the source of all incarnations. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhujami. He is the original personality of Godhead. and it is explained ete chang shakala pungshang, but that this Supreme Lord, he has incarnated through his various portions and plenary portions in the form of the various avatars. And similarly, Krishna expands himself as every living entity, the jivatmas. In this verse, vimuchyate means to get relief from, dukkha gramat, from the miseries of material life. So this is the simple, wonderful process of truly being relieved of the miseries of material life. Material life in itself is miserable. The only way to get relief, real relief, from material life is to transcend it, is to get out of it. Getting out of material life is not just a physical idea, but it is a question of our consciousness. Even while living in this material body, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord and become purified from this process, at that time we can experience real relief. Just like the other day we were discussing Sri Madhavendra Puri. Sri Madhavendra Puri was such a great devotee of the Lord, but in his old age, his body began to deteriorate to such an extent that he could not even walk. In fact, he was in such a condition that when he would respond to nature, he would do it in the very bed that he was laying. And his own disciple, Ishwarapuri Maharaj, but had to cleanse it with his own hands with great feeling and devotion. But Madhavendra Puri, although physically it appeared he was in the most miserable condition of life, he was totally helpless. This is one of the most miserable conditions that everyone fears, to be helpless. Can you imagine when you become so old, if by God's grace you live this long, when you become so old you cannot even move, and all your organs practically shut down, and your urine and stool are all over you because you can't even get up by your own endeavor? You see, there's a lot of similarities between being a newborn child and being a very old person. In fact, they're so close together. When you become so old, you become helpless like an infant child. Most people, when they get that age, they lose their memory. They really don't know who they are, or who anyone else is, or where they are, or what they're doing, or what they're supposed to do. They become senile. You have seen? And then you have no more any control over the functions of your body. Usually you can't eat any solid foods. And whatever you eat, it just comes out all over you, and you need someone to come and clean you. You're so helpless. And you're in so much pain, you're usually always crying. It's just like a baby. A baby also doesn't remember anything from its previous life, doesn't really know anybody around him. A baby also can't eat any solid foods. A baby also, whatever he eats, just comes out all over him. He's constantly in need of help for anything and for everything, helpless. In this way, what's the next step after severe old age? Becoming a baby. In one sense, when you're so old and senile and helpless, you're being prepared for your next stage of life, being a helpless baby who doesn't know anything about anything. And we think that the old person gets so sad because he doesn't have any future. But the baby who's suffering, the same way, we think, oh, it's so nice because he has such a nice future. But actually, the future of the baby is to be like the old suffering man, and the future of the old suffering man is to become like the baby. So who's better off? Who can say? They're all simply entrapped and entrenched in the hard struggle for existence in the cycle of birth and death. And somehow or other, there's a little existence in between, and we think we're enjoying there. We do not look forward, nor do we look back, nor do we look above or on either side of what types of sufferings can come upon us at any minute. This is material existence. And yet, we're so attached to these material bodies. Do you know, if you don't have a material body, you don't have to suffer? Lord Buddha gave us this philosophy. Just give up your material body once and for all. It's the cause of all suffering. He didn't give us any information about the spiritual world. He just told us that material body means suffering. Give it up. Get rid of it. But our whole life is dedicated to the principle of enjoying it and protecting it. This is illusion. When Krishna, so Madhavendra Puri, when he was in this condition of the last stages of old age, at that time, his beloved disciple, Ishwara Puri, would be continuously singing the glories of the Lord's holy names and pastimes. He would be explaining the wonderful, wonderful leelas of the Lord in his various incarnations, especially explaining the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and chanting the holy names. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And in this way, Madhavendra Puri was experiencing great ecstatic love. Hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. So we should know that we are all, more or less, about to die. And we should know who our real friends are. Those who remind us of Krishna. Those who help us to keep our attention on his beautiful pastimes and on his beautiful names. Everyone else in this whole creation is only an agent of Maya to bring about the perpetuation of our misery. It is a fact. Our so-called friends and social acquaintances, and even family members and relatives, if they are not helping us to remember Krishna, his names and his pastimes, then really all that they're doing is just perpetuating the miseries and the sufferings of life. Even if they're giving us a nice, comfortable house, delicious, nutritious foods, so much medical insurances, even if they're giving us all these things, if they're not helping us to remember Krishna, they're doing nothing more than perpetuating the miseries of life. They're not helping us to relieve our miseries. They're helping us to fall into a deeper illusion, to think that I am this body and I am the enjoyer, which is the source of all miseries. Therefore, we should understand who our real friend is. Madhavendra Puri, certainly Ishvara Puri, was cleaning his guru's stool and urine with his own hands, and he was fanning him from the heat. He was doing everything he could to alleviate the physical pains as far as possible that were upon him, although they really can't be alleviated, but he was doing the best he could. So through the process of trying to help a person on the bodily concept, you have to do it. All you could do is the best you can. But Madhavendra Puri, who was a great soul, he was eternally grateful to Ishvara Puri because he was constantly reminding him of Krishna. That is real love. To help to relieve a person of this material body, not to help perpetuate the illusion of this body. And it is described here that whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. If we analyze this verse, so much is to be revealed. The first word is whoever. Whoever means it doesn't matter who you are or where you're coming from. It doesn't matter whether you're man or woman. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. It doesn't matter whether you're illiterate or whether you're a great scholar. It doesn't matter whether you're born of an untouchable family or of a very highly placed Brahmin family. It doesn't matter whether you are Indian or Russian or Pakistani or American. It doesn't even matter whether you are Hindu or Muslim or Jain or Buddhist or Christian or Jew. It doesn't even matter whether you're Gujarati or Maharashtrian or from Uttar Pradesh or if you're from anywhere. Nothing matters. It says whoever you are, Krishna doesn't care whoever you are. Who you are is due to your past karma. Krishna is not concerned with your karma. Karma is just the automatic cycle of what you have created upon yourself. But Krishna sees that you are eternally his part and parcel. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that even animals, just by hearing the glories of the Lord, attain the same perfection. So the first word, whoever, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter whether you are Jagai and Madhai, or whether you are Mr. Birla making so many beautiful temples everywhere, doesn't matter. Krishna doesn't discriminate. Whoever. But what does that whoever have to do? The next word, carefully recites.
This is very important.
It doesn't say recites. Carefully recites. Carefully means full of care. Not mechanical. Not ritualistically. We see in so many temples, people are reciting. Even in people's homes, people recite. So much reciting. They recite Vishnu Sahasranam. They recite Hanuman Chalisa. So many people recite. Recite the thousand names of Vishnu, 100 names of Allah. Some people recite Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But we have to recite carefully, with attention, with proper understanding of what we're doing, why, and with feeling. What does it mean to carefully chant Krishna's name? Does it mean it's not carefully, that's reciting. Carefully means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. With care. To understand that my life is dependent on the mercy of the holy name, and therefore with great affection and attention I must speak and hear every syllable of the Maha Mantra. And when we are discussing Krishna's pastimes, sometimes children, they just tell you some lila of Krishna, like this, like a little tape recorder. You just press, you say, please tell me pastime, you press the button and they say, Krishna did like this. That's nice. We're training them to understand the value of Krishna's lilas. But actually, we have to recite Krishna's pastimes and we have to hear them carefully. All of you are listening to Krishna Katha. How carefully are you listening? That is what is important. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord. Generally, we think that something that is mysterious is something that is unknown. But yet, here in India, almost everyone knows about Krishna's various incarnations. So why are they being declared here to be mysterious? It has already been described in this chapter. How Nara Narayan Rishi, the son of Dharma, how Lord Kapila Dev, how Dattatreya, and so many other great avatars have appeared. Why does it say mysterious? Krishna gives us the understanding in Gita. Sa evaya maya teja yoga prokta puratana bhakto shimesha kacheti rahasyam yetadutama. That Arjuna, you can understand the mysteries of my teachings. Bhakto shimesha kacheti, because you are my devotee. And because you are my friend, it is not through scholarship. It is not through spending your whole life in recitation of mantras and scriptures that you can understand the mystery. It is only when Krishna reveals it to you, and he only reveals it to one who is his devotee and his friend. There is no greater mystery than the teachings of the Gita. But yet, the Gita is in hundreds of languages all over the world, and there are hundreds and millions of Bhagavad Gitas been printed over the ages. And here in India, almost everyone has one in their home. But yet it remains a mystery. Because unless you are a sincere devotee, carefully studying under the direction of a proper spiritual guide who's teaching true devotion, you cannot understand even a single word of the Bhagavad Gita in truth. It is not possible. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening. This means whoever you are, if you carefully, with devotion, hear and chant the glories of the Lord under the supervision of someone who is teaching devotion, it must be done regularly. It says here, in the morning and in the evening. This means regulation. If we want to advance in spiritual life, we have to be regulated. This is an essential principle. You have to chant the holy name every day. You have to hear the glories of the Lord every day. You have to follow the regulative principles every day. And not only every day, but in a certain way every day. Srila Prabhupada gave us a life of regulation. That every single day you chant at least 16 rounds. Of course, at the beginning, we should chant at least one round, or two rounds, or four rounds. But when we really become serious about initiation, we must chant every day of our life at least 16 rounds. Preferably in the morning time. And for those who really want to advance best, whether they're living in the temple or whether they're living at home, they have Mangal Arati every day. They worship Tulsi every day. They hear Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken every day. This is essential. Anything that is taken seriously in this world is done regularly. It's like you send your children to school. You don't send them to school whenever they feel like it. Today you go to school. And if you don't like school so much, then you go whenever you like. Doesn't matter. Just go. You can go once a week. You can go twice a month. But go to school. Is that the way you teach a child? A child goes to school every day. Perhaps 5 days a week. Every day. Every week. Not for 1 year. Whatever the school system is here, in order to get a high school education, I know in the West, you have to go to school 13 years, every day, every week, a few little vacations in between, 5 days a week for 13 years. Then you'll get a high school degree, which means you'll never get a job, hardly, except as a laborer. Then you have to go 5 days a week, every day, every week, for 4 more years to get a college degree. That means 17 years, every day, every week. Huh? Then you can get a basic job, But if you want real qualification, you have to go another 4 years. Some people go their whole life. Anyways, just to get some job in this world and some economic security, you're willing to regulate your life to such an extent for 17 years at least. And what do you get out of it? Not much at all. And when you go to school, it's not that bells ring any time. Just all of a sudden, vroom, 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 and then you're, okay, it's time for mathematics class. Vroom, vroom, vroom. What are we supposed to go now? What are we? No, you go here today. Tomorrow, no, go here instead. You have certain class, certain time. Bell rings at certain instance. Every part of the world, this is the way education is conducted. Regulation, because people take education seriously. Anything taken seriously is regulated. Spiritual education is the most serious thing in our life. And yet people are so crazy, they don't consider that it has to be regulated. I'll regulate everything else I do. I'll regulate my hours in the office. I have to be there at this time. Lunch is at this time. Everything's regulated. Even in the factories, everything's regulated. Spiritual life must be regulated. Ragadveshiva muktaishtu visharayish indrayashtarani. Krishna says, one who follows the regulated principles of freedom can obtain my mercy. So we must associate with devotees regularly. That is why Radha Gopinath's temple is such a wonderful place, giving such wonderful opportunities for everyone. Every Sunday, you can come and regularly have the satsang of devotees. It's essential. Every morning, the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to come for the Mangalarti, it is all there. And in our own private lives, we must regularly chant Krishna's name. Regularly read the books of the great acharyas. Because when we regulate our spiritual disciplines, we automatically bring our mind under control. The mind is by nature very restless. By regulating the disciplines of our spiritual life, we are putting a bridle on our mind. And that is necessary. We find that people who are not regulated in their sadhana, they cannot control their mind or senses. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. What is meant here, that we get relief from all miseries of life, is that we become detached from the material body and all the objects of the senses. Getting relief from the miseries of material life by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is not like some medicine of this material world. The medicines of this material world, they will give you some relief. But you still remain attached to the cause of your miseries. But this relief is the relief of detachment. Detachment from sense gratification. And detachment from the objects of sense gratification. To Krishna. And how is Krishna coming? He's appearing before us as the beautiful Murti.
Shri Srinithai Gaura Chandra, Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gopal.
We want to become attached. The more we become attached to the beautiful Murti in the temple, the more we become detached from the causes of misery and suffering. The more we arrange wonderful food to be given to Krishna, the less we care about eating wonderful foods ourselves. The more we decorate Krishna with wonderful ornaments, the less we care about wearing wonderful ornaments ourselves. The more we look at the beautiful face of Radha and Krishna, the less we want to look in the mirror and see our own faces. The more we chant the glories of Radha and Krishna, the less we care about people chanting our glories, what to speak of ourselves chanting our own glories. By attaching ourselves to Krishna, we become detached from the causes of misery. Krishna's appearing so wonderfully in the beautiful form of the deity. And that's why he comes in the form of the deity. Not because he needs anything from us, but to give us a chance to love him and to serve him. And Krishna comes in the form of his devotees. To the degree we become attached to devotees in a spirit of service, to that degree we become detached from material consciousness. When we become attached to the devotees, to the sadhus, to the Vaishnavas, we want to do so much for them, to assist them, to help them, to encourage them, that we forget ourselves. We forget about our own selfish needs and desires. We should be so concerned with everyone else that we lose all concern for ourselves. In the association of devotees, devotees have to remind each other about what they need. You should be so much concerned with the needs of your god brothers that you so much forget yourself that your god brother has to remind you of your own needs. Oh yes, I am about to die. Thank you very much. I will do this. That is loving exchange. That you're so much giving of yourself, you forget yourself. You're only thinking about the other devotees. This should be our goal. If another devotee is sick, you should be so much concerned with him. And naturally, that devotee who's so much concerned with you will tell you that you're also sick, rascal. I don't care. But for me, you should do it. All right, I'll do it. Providing you do it for me, I'll do it for you. This is the love of devotees. No selfishness, selflessness. The degree we become attached to devotees, we become detached from all misery. And attached to hearing the wonderful glories of the Lord, attached to coming to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, attached to reading these books, And ultimately we want to become attached to always chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But unless we are attached to the devotees and to the deities and to the scriptures, we can't really become properly attached to the holy name. Because this attachment only comes by the mercy of Krishna. When we please Krishna. The holy name is the manifestation of Krishna that is available as our constant companion at every moment of our, in life or in death. So we should know that to really and truly get relief from the miseries of life, the only means is to become completely attached to Krishna. This is the purpose of this human form of life. In fact, this is the purpose of the creation of this entire material existence. To help us become attached to Krishna. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. Thank you very much.